Thanks. So before I start, I'd just like to say that the work I talk about today would not have been possible without the expertise of three Aboriginal research officers who are based at Congress in Alice Springs, who co-led the work with me. They should be presenting instead of me. Unfortunately, they've gone on to bigger and better roles in another organisation, so I just want to make sure that their important contribution is acknowledged here today. I'm also linking to the statement this morning. I want to highlight that throughout this presentation, we emphasise the strengths of community-led and community-based health promotion work, and this is really evident in the data. So what's the issue that the work tackled? We need to understand how earlier, more frequent engagement in regular STI testing can be achieved among young Aboriginal women and men in regional and remote Australian settings. We know that there are higher rates of STIs among young Aboriginal people compared to non-Indigenous young people, aged 15 to 29, and that this and the rates increase in regional and remote areas. In the Northern Territory, there are persistently high STI prevalence and incidence rates, irrespective of the existence of health services, programs and policies that prioritise STI control. And we know from behavioural surveys and epidemiological research that STI testing and retesting after treatment is less common among younger people aged 16 to 19-year-olds, especially young fellas. So the findings show that in order to enhance engagement in clinic-based STI testing among young people, there are several issues that help encourage engagement. Firstly is strong family and community support for health service use. And from the data, there's a wide range of community people initiating and leading community action that enhances access to clinics for STI testing. Also, youth-friendly redesign or design of health service spaces and appointment procedures to minimise effects of gossip and rumour associated with sexual ill health that can discourage young people from testing. And that also community-based young people with no prior research experience have expert knowledge based on lived experience and are very able to contribute to co-design activities. And that we need innovative but not necessarily complicated sexual health outreach programs, particularly for young Aboriginal men. So how did we come to these findings? We undertook qualitative study examining young Aboriginal people's perceptions of factors influencing uptake of clinic-based STI testing. This was part of the MOST trial, which is the More Options for STI Testing trial, which is looking at testing various strategies to increase STI testing amongst Aboriginal young people in the Northern Territory. The research was conducted in two remote settings in the Northern Territory between 2015 and 2017, and the research consisted of in-depth interviews with 35 young Aboriginal men and women aged 16 to 21 years. Two quick points on the research design. So firstly, a socio-ecological analysis enabled us to move beyond factors that focus on personal risks, personal attitudes, personal behaviours. It enabled a more holistic view of young people's lives by examining influences at different levels of society, be it in interpersonal relationships, according to social cultural values, or due to interactions at institutional levels, be it the health service or the youth services. And we looked at how these influences overlap and interacted. And in doing so, we can explore a fuller range of solutions to these barriers to STI testing that go beyond the individual. Secondly, we adopted a strengths-based approach to sexual health research, which involved a focus on actions taken by community members, individually or in conjunction with others, with assistance from others, to improve their sexual health outcomes, rather than focusing only on the problems and difficulties. Specifically, our research aimed to document strengths in terms of sexual health risk reduction strategies, which is what young people already do to enhance their lives, their well-being, their sexual health, again, on their own or with support of other people, be it friends, family, community members, or health workers. So a bit more detail on some of the key findings. There was strong social support for young women's use of local health services for STI testing in one particular community. As one 17-year-old woman explained, for us mob, like for women, we get all the women to come down and sit and talk story about women's, you know. So here she's talking about women's nights organised by community adults. community adult women, be it mums or grandparents or aunties, with support from the local youth services, to enable younger and older women to talk collectively about women's health issues to do with menstruation, pregnancy, pregnancy prevention, as well as STIs. Walbra, who was one of the Aboriginal researchers, asked, if one of your friends thought they might have a sickness, referring to a sexual sickness, what would you say to them or tell them to do? And the 17-year-old young woman said, I would just help them, take her down to the clinic. I'll ask her. If she would have had that sickness for a long time, she would have come to me and tell me, I'm really scared, but I want you to help me, to take me down clinic. Because I know she couldn't go to herself to the clinic, she'll feel really shame. So here she's talking about accompanied health visits with support from sisters, cousins, aunts, mothers, grandmothers, and close friends. As well as feeling more comfortable and safer with the support of other people, the use of clinics could also be passed off as related to broader health concerns other than being STI specific if there was the concerns around stigma and gossip associated with sexual ill health. So secondly, health service provision strategies by male health workers in community settings were particularly beneficial for young men in another community. Talking about what had worked in the past, a 16-year-old man said, he, referring to a remote men's health outreach worker, used to come every day to the clinic, and he used to show all the healthy stuff to the fellas, and he used to pick up all the fellas and take them to the clinic. I asked, so do you remember the things that he taught you? And amongst other things, he said, if you have sex with all the girls, you've got to go to the clinic to have a check. You've got to use those safety things, referring to condoms. He used to talk, and then after that, we used to eat them sausage at the barbecue. And then he was prompted about whether it was just young fellas or not. And he said, no, lots of young fellas and big fellas and old mans, all together. We used to always go to the hospital, and he used to talk like healthy stuff. So these kind of community-based and community interactive health service provision models helped young men learn about sexual health issues, experience how to communicate with health professionals on their own terms, on a level, you know, on a friendly kind of social level, initiate trusting relationships with clinic staff over a period of time, and become more comfortable accessing formal clinic spaces. So other men in particular used personal strategies to enhance access to STI testing when they were worried about other people hearing about their use of the clinic. Because young men in particular don't really need to go to the clinic on a very regular basis, there tended to be the assumption that they were there because they had an STI or for a sexual health issue. So some young men described discreet use of clinics for a checkup after sex without a condom or to check STI symptoms. One 21-year-old said, bit secret, not telling anyone, keeping secret, an own way going to the clinic. And another suggested making up cover stories to explain their attendance at the clinic for an STI test if seen by others. He said, an 18-year-old fella, he said, people feel shame as they might see someone there at the clinic. They might ask him, hey, what's wrong with you? Why are you coming to the clinic? You might get shame. But then he can say, I just got sick, and pretend it's something else. I got sore ears, he said, laughing. Just make it up. So, as kind of hinted at through some of those other quotes, there's some social constraints around going to the clinic for STI testing, particularly in communities where it's easy to see where people are and what they're doing. So, as illustrated in this quote, one 16-year-old man said that other young fellas might use the clinic for testing or treatment if they're game enough. But I doubt it because they'll be scared that they'll get caught out unless they talk to their parents about it first. I asked, how might they get caught out? And he said, they might get seen going to the clinic and then ask question after question after question until it slips out and you tell them by accident. Or if there's nothing wrong with you, it just looks really suspicious. So awareness of these constraints also led young people to identify action to improve these issues. The first was around service redesign, focusing particularly on changes to appointment procedures, waiting rooms and waiting times, which could reduce the chances of being seen or questioned about why they're in the clinic by others, speed up the process of getting through the clinic, or enable access to the clinic in more kind of private ways. And another one was on communication skills to support confidential use of services and safe interactions with health professionals. There was some nervousness around interacting with people that they may not have met before who were seen as senior people in community, but also with families and friends around sexual health if they were questioned as to why they were there. So the significance of the findings. In the Northern Territory, there are persistently high STI prevalence and incidence rates, and new, different, or previously successful strategies are needed to engage more young people in testing in these settings if we're going to change these data. In settings such as these, improvement is dependent on high population coverage of regular repeat STI testing and earlier detection of infection. But most STI testing occurs through opportunistic testing, which is reliant on people going to the clinic in the first place and perceptions of and experiences within safe, trustworthy services. And that safety and trustworthiness is not just about the way that the services are provided by clinicians or by nurses or by the receptionist. It's also about the social experiences of being in the waiting room, being in the clinic, and who else might be there. And there's also, obviously, ongoing challenge of engaging young men in particular in clinic-based STI testing. So the findings identify examples of what has been working from young people's perspectives in communities and health services to enhance engagement in STI testing. And again, I want to emphasise the value of the community-led, community-based practices that are already there as a way to build on improving service engagement. And then secondly, the findings illustrate the value of working with young people and community members as experts on their own lives and community-led identification of ways of improving their health. We're talking tomorrow about the youth-led methods that was used in one of the settings where we worked with young people as researchers and co-designers. So if you're interested in hearing a bit more about that, I suggest you come to the cultural strength session tomorrow morning. So just to wrap up, there's a massive team involved, and I'd like to thank all of them. But in particular, I would like to thank the young Aboriginal researchers who were involved in one of the studies, in half of the study, as well as the Congress research officers who supported it, as well as the Congress board. Thank you very much.